Hello, this is Priya reading Winthrop's transcript published on Thursday, July 9, 2026. School committee approves new superintendent contract by Adam Swift. The school committee approved a new 2-year contract for superintendent of schools Lisa Howard at last week's school committee meeting. The contract is retroactive to the 2025-26 school years and runs through the end of the 2026-27 school year. The only change to Howard's previous contract is the salary. According to school committee member Gus Matuki, the new contract set the salary for recently completed 2025-26 school year at $216,000 and at $220,000 for the current year, which began on July 1. School committee chair Lene Petri thanked Howard for waiting almost a year and a half for the committee to update the contract. "That's okay. We have had many pressing tasks to get through in the last 2 years, the override and all the contract negotiations, which to me are more important," said Howard. "Thank you to the school committee and certainly to the parents and the staff for all the work that they do. You can't do this job alone at all. You are only as good as the folks that surround you in good times and in bad times." Howard said that there are more good times than bad in Winthrop and that the district has many people who think creatively and outside the box. "We have a great administrative team that works very closely together," said Howard. "We have made some changes for next year, so it will be challenging but interesting and fun to work new people into the leadership team and get some new perspectives on things." Looking ahead to the new leadership team and the next school year, Howard said leadership meetings and summer retreats begin this week with additional dates in August. "I think that will be a good time to integrate the new people," she said. "I have been working pretty closely with new interim assistant superintendent Brian Curley over the last month or so. Transitioning him into the assistant superintendent of curriculum, instructions and accountability. Right now, all the principals are working on some aspect of that. The principals taking on that role for a time has had a positive impact." Howard said, giving them some perspective on how the district runs outside of their buildings. Now to the next. Council hears plan for Tilestone and Girdlestone project by Adam Swift. Consultants presented the plans for a stormwater engineering project in the Tilestone and Girdlestone neighborhood with an estimated price tag of $4 to $4.5 million at last week's town council meeting. The project calls for improved and larger underground pipes in the neighborhood, as well as a new 48-inch outfall pipe on Pleasant Park Yacht Club property. The proposed project would address the stormwater and flooding issues that have plagued Tilestone and Girdlestone and provide an upgrade for surrounding streets, according to engineers from Woodward and Curran. While funding for the construction of the project is still to be determined, the Woodward and Curran engineers said permitting is ongoing for the project and that it could be ready to go out bid in the spring of 2027, with construction beginning in the fall of that year. Currently, when it rains in the neighborhood, the water travels through a network of pipes to a 12-inch outfall pipe next to Captain Jack's Marina. So when you have an inch of rain, that whole area has to be conveyed by the drainage system, which is a big challenge given the size of the existing pipes, said Robert Angelo of Woodward and Curran. The majority of the pipes leading to the 12-inch outfall are 8 to 10-inch clay pipes, Angelo said. The low elevation and of the neighborhood only adds to the stormwater drainage challenges, he added. The existing system is not sized adequately for today's rainfall intensities. By today's design standards, and it is heavily influenced by the tide, said Angelo. The water can pond in the roadway, making it difficult for motorists and emergency responders, and it also taxes the infrastructure and causes property damage. The engineers looked at several potential locations for the outfall pipe before settling on the edge of the Pleasant Park Yacht Club property, which allows for easier access for maintenance. "We are putting in bigger pipes, so we are upsizing and increasing the capacity for flow and volume storage," said Angelo. The project is designed to handle a storm that would drop 5 inches of rain on the region in a 24-hour period. That is consistent with MassDOT's project and is pretty consistent for this type of roadway drainage system, said Angelo. One of the biggest and most important parts of this is putting backflow prevention on the outflow to prevent that tidal surcharge and prevent the tide from controlling the water level in the drainage system. After the presentation from Woodward and Curran, councillors discussed the potential price tag, the overall impact on the town, and the easement with the yacht club. Pressing to one councillor, Pat Costigan asked if there was a way to take a shorter-term approach to more immediately meet the needs of Tilestone and Girdlestone rather than the larger project presented by Woodward and Curran. There's a lot here, and obviously it is a very big project. I'm somewhat surprised it is this large, said Costigan, noting that it incorporated streets in addition to Tilestone and Girdlestone. Let's not forget why we are here. The issue is Girdlestone and the flooding on Girdlestone. We are now incorporating other areas of that location and incorporating a 48-inch line now. Councillor at large, Max Tessinari, said it was important to look at the project as a long-term commitment to the town. We want to save our town, not just two streets. We want to save our town from the tidal inundation, from the floodwater inundations, and this is a great way to start, he said. While the price was higher than Tessinari said, he thought the project would come in at when planning initially got underway more than 3 years ago, he said. That is where the town needs to be, gain the capacity in the stormwater drainage system. Council President Jim Lettery stated that last week's presentation by Woodward and Curran was informational, but that he was looking to have the firm back before the council in the near future for a public hearing in which residents could ask questions about the plan. Precinct 3 Councillor Joseph Romano did request that Woodward and Curran provide any additional information or presentations on the project to the council several days prior to any meetings. Now to the next. News briefs. Local band to host Free Forest Fest 3 at Ingleside Park. The local band State of Nature, formed by Winthrop natives, is bringing the third annual Forest Fest to Ingleside Park in Winthrop this Saturday. Following the success of the past 2 years, organizers have expanded the event to a larger space to welcome the entire community, inviting neighbors from Winthrop, East Boston, and Revere to join in the festivities. The free one-day celebration of local music will run from 1 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Attendees can enjoy performances by six different bands from across New England. Along with live entertainment, the family-friendly event will feature snacks, yard games, and art and crafts. Driven entirely by musicians and community members with a passion for the local scene, Forest Fest 3 is a grassroots event operating with zero corporate sponsors. Residents from across the surrounding neighborhoods are encouraged to come out and enjoy a free day of fun in the sun. Next, free arts and crafts STEM workshops in nearby Eastie Parks. The Boston Parks and Recreation Department is pleased to announce the return of free arts and craft workshops and the introduction of STEM and youth preparedness workshops for children through the park arts program. Winthrop families looking for accessible summer activities can head over to nearby East Boston, where kids ages 3 to 10 can enjoy a wide variety of activities led by local artists and instructors. Nearby East Boston events highlights art and crafts workshops Tuesday, July 28, August 4 and 11 at Low Presti Park from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. In addition to the arts programming, Parks Arts is debuting free STEM and youth preparedness workshops on Mondays throughout July and August, led by a Boston Public Schools teacher and staff from the City of Boston Office of Emergency Management. These hands-on workshops combine interactive STEM activities with lessons on emergency preparedness. Summer in Boston's park is all about giving children and families opportunities to connect, learn, explore, and create, said Diana Fernandez, Commissioner of Parks and Recreation and Deputy Chief of Open Space. Participation is free and all materials are provided. All children must be accompanied by an adult. Groups of 8 or more must pre-register by emailing parks@boston.gov or by calling the Parks Department at 617-961-3082. For more information, visit boston.gov/parkarts. Next, 13th annual Boston Jerk Fest returns for 3 days. The 13th annual Boston Jerk Fest is turning up the Caribbean heat and expanding to 3 days this year, July 10 to 12. The festival will move to a larger footprint at Ohuri Star Soccer Field at the Harvard Athletic Complex, 95 North Harvard Street, Boston. This year's theme, tropical theme, celebrates the powerful influence of women in Caribbean music, food, culture, and sports. The weekend kicks off on Friday with 21 plus tasting event and soca concert. Saturday brings an unforgettable day of Caribbean cuisine, a jerk cook-off, a seafood throwdown, and live performance by Allison Hines and Sister Nancy. The festival concludes on Sunday with a new free community soccer fest celebrating women in soccer. Tickets range from $0 to $150 and are available now at 206 bostonjerkfest.eventbrite.com. Children ages 10 and under receive free admission on Saturday. Now to the next. Riviera International Sand Sculpting Festival returns for 22nd year with Boston Welcomes the World theme. Staff report. The Riviera Beach International Sand Sculpting Festival is back. Now entering its 22nd year, the highly anticipated summer event will take over the shores of America's first public beach from July 17 to July 19. This year's festival theme is Boston Welcomes the World, bringing together artistry, culture, and community for a weekend filled with art from master sand sculptures and family fun. The main attraction will feature an extraordinary display of skill as 10 masters sand sculptures from across the world compete for prize money. These exceptionally talented artists will transform the sand into awe-inspiring creations, drawing hundreds of thousands to Riviera Beach over the three-day course. Historically drawing crowds that can exceed 500,000 people, the festival offers much more than just world-class art. Beyond the sand sculptures, the event features over 50 food vendors, food trucks, and exhibitors, interactive activities, amusement rides, fireworks, and a vibrant atmosphere. The spectacular fireworks display is scheduled to light up the sky over the water on Saturday night at 9 p.m. The event is organized by the Riviera Beach Partnership, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that was established in 2001. Made up of a volunteer board that shares a love for Riviera and Riviera Beach, the partnership's mission is to preserve and enhance America's first public beach for the enjoyment of all. We can't wait to see everyone at the beach this summer for the 22nd year of the International Sand Sculpting Festival, organizers shared in a statement. We invite you to join us July 17 to 19 on Riviera Beach for an experience you will never forget. Because of the massive crowds expected, automobile traffic in the surrounding area will be heavily congested and parking will be extremely limited. Attendees are highly encouraged to use public transportation. The MBTA's Blue Line offers two convenient stops, Wonderland and Riviera Beach stations, making it by far the best choice for festival goers traveling to the beach. Event details at a glance. Dates Friday, July 17 through Sunday, July 19. Hours Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. For more information or to donate, please visit www.riverbeachpartnership.com or www.rpissf.com. Now to the next. College prospect. Murphy qualifies for Mass Amateur and Junior Amateur Golf Tournaments by Kerry Schumann. After 3 consecutive years of earning a berth on the All Northeastern Conference Gold Team for Winthrop High School, Ryan Murphy is scaling new heights in the sport. Already one of the top junior golfers in the state, Murphy 16 accomplished an impressive double qualifying for both the Mass Amateur, which is being played this week at the Winchester Country Club, and the Mass Junior Amateur, which will be held August 4 to 7 at Wynnetec Country Club in Great Barrington. He finished third out of a field of more than 100 golfers in the Mass Amateur Qualifier and was fifth out of a field of more than 40 golfers in the Mass Junior Am Qualifier. Murphy's surge into the top tier of junior golfers coincides with his enrollment at the IMG Golf Academy, a world-renowned prep school and sports training complex in Florida. Several current professionals begin their path to the PGA Tour at IMG. Murphy's strengths are the ability to drive the ball more than 300 yards and a superior putting game. he is on the radar of college golf programs. An early start on the links, Murphy said he was introduced to the sport at about 5 to 6 years old by his father Joe Murphy, a former Division I college baseball star at the University of Rhode Island, and his grandfather, former Winthrop selectman and prominent attorney Robert Noonan Sr. Ryan, is the son of Jennifer Noonan Murphy and part of the long line in the Noonan and Tolland families. Winthrop originated athletic success. Ryan began playing competitively at the age of 12 and made a sterling debut for Winthrop High School as an 8th grader, earning the number 2 position on the varsity. He moved up to number 1 quickly for coach Jack Wallace Viking. He credited his older brother Connor Murphy for his dedication to the game and his steady ascension up the golf ladder, a path that took that then 14-year-old rising star to the semifinal of the Winthrop Golf Club Championships, where he fell to 2-time champion Thomas DiGregorio. "I would not be half the golfer I am without Connor," said Ryan. Connor played for Winthrop High and then went to IMG, and he is now a senior at St. Lawrence University, where he will be the captain of the golf team. "I'm really proud of him. I never really had a golf coach, but he's always been in that role for me. He pretty much built my golf swing." Ryan also takes pride in the achievements of his brothers, Will Murphy. "He was very good in football for Winthrop High," says Ryan. And Brendan Murphy, currently a 12-year-old Winthrop Little League All-Star with an exceedingly bright future in baseball. "Onward and upward." Ryan says his favorite pro golfer is Justin Thomas, who starred collegiately at the University of Alabama. Like the long-hitting Thomas, Ryan aspires to earn a Division I golf scholarship. "That's my goal," said Ryan. "I'm very excited about the future. With Mass M and Junior M berths already on his impressive resume, Ryan's goal of playing college golf at a high level is clearly attainable. Keep an eye on the Winthrop golfer with the big swing and the big game." Now to the next. Town Council approves Memorials Committee recommendations. By Adam Swift, two men who have contributed immensely to Winthrop will be honored by the town. At last week's town council meeting, the council unanimously approved two recommendations made by the Memorials Committee. The basketball court at the old middle school gymnasium will be named in honor of Manny Cotino, and a street corner sign will be placed honoring former town veterans agent Richard Honan at the spot near his home. Manny Cotino opened the gym every Saturday morning from the late 50s all the way through to the mid-90s, said Veterans Agent and Memorials Committee Chair Phil Ronan. 8 o'clock in the morning until 3 for all the young kids, people like myself who had no skill in basketball. Ronan presented a list of some of the people positively affected by Cotino's actions, noting that it would easily have been 5,000 people. A matter of fact, 6 of the people on the list are in Greece, playing an over 70 basketball tournament, and they are all products of the gym, said Ronan. Ronan said he had a conversation with Mike Irozino and noted that after the overall renovations to the gym, it will at some point be known as the Mike Irozino Center, but that Irozino was supportive of the naming the basketball court itself after Cotino. Cotino immigrated from Portugal. He's a World War II veteran. He came, he opened the gym, he taught kids sportsmanship, teamwork, and the importance of community, said Ron. Later in life, he would help people get their legal citizenship in this country. This went unnoticed for many, many years. Ron said the proper location for the street corner sign honoring Honan will be coordinated with the Public Works Director. Honan, in addition to being the former veterans agent Winthrop, spent more than 2 decades collecting items and putting together care packages and gift baskets for military personnel serving overseas at Christmas. "Being a veteran and serving overseas, I can tell you how much a care package from home is cherished," said Ronan. Richard did that for all those years when the Veterans Office didn't have the budget that I have today. It had a minuscule budget. Richard provided monetary support to my predecessor. He still today provides support to me. Now to the next. USS Constitution to get underway for sail Boston. The USS Constitution is scheduled to get underway from the Charlestown Navy Yard on July 11th at 8 a.m. This underway commemorates America's 250th birthday. The ship will lead the Boston Grand Parade of Sail through Boston Harbor as part of Sail 250. During the underway, U.S. Constitution will render ceremonial gun salutes throughout the transit. As the world's oldest commissioned warship afloat and America's ship of state, U.S.'s Constitution played a crucial role in the Barbary Wars and the War of 1812, defending American sea lanes from 1798 to 1855. U.S.'s Constitution's defeat of HMS Guerrero marked the first frigate-to-frigate victory by the U.S. Navy over the Royal Navy during the War of 1812. During the battle, Constitution earned the nickname Old Ironsides when British cannonballs were seen bouncing off her thick oak hull. The underway will be visible from the Boston Harbor Walk, Castle Island, and Charlestown Navy Yard. U.S.'s Constitution will open for public tours following the parade of sail and will remain open Sunday, July 12th through Sunday, July 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Beginning Monday, July 20th, U.S.'s Constitution will return to its normal summer visitation schedule and will be open Tuesday through Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Boarding and visiting the ship are free. All guests 18 years of age and older must present a valid state or federally issued photo identification card or passport to board the ship. Now to the next. Forum. Our opinions. Enjoy the tall ships. The return of the tall ships to Boston Harbor this coming weekend will place a spectacular exclamation point to the celebration of America's 250th anniversary. The international fleet of vessels will arrive in Boston Outer Harbor beginning Thursday and into Friday, where they will anchor in Broad Sound ahead of the parade of sail on Saturday. The ships at anchor will be plainly visible from the shores of Lynn, Revere, and Winthrop, transforming the outer harbor into a seascape of masts that will evoke the 18th century. Then on Saturday morning, starting at 9, the ships will unfurl their sails and proceed into the inner harbor past Deer Island and Kessel Island. Led by Old Ironsides, the U.S.'s Constitution, the parade will sail past the entire Boston waterfront, including East Boston, the North End, and Charlestown, with Admiral's Hill in Chelsea offering longer distance views as the ships turn around before heading to their berths. The ships will be open to public for boarding throughout the week, providing a unique opportunity to experience the inner workings of these majestic vessels, which include the Amerigo, Vespucci, Italy, Juan Sebastian de Elcano, Spain, Cisne Branco, Brazil, Blue Nose, Second, Canada, and Dar Mlodzi, Poland. Fireworks display on the evenings of Saturday, July 11 and Wednesday, July 15 will light up the harbor beginning at 9:15 p.m. We vividly recall the first visit of the tall ships in 1976 for America's 200th anniversary. We have no doubt that for young and old alike, the visit of the tall ships this week will create memories that will last a lifetime. It had been a great World Cup until. The World Cup has been a wonderful event enjoyed by soccer fans and non-fans alike. The games have been incredibly exciting, especially in the first knockout round, where underdog teams have pushed the giants of the sport to the limit. Until recently, the tournament also has been devoid of politics. The influx of international fans into our American host cities, including Boston, has created a degree of harmony and goodwill that is seldom seen in the world today. However, that all changed this past week. American government officials took it upon themselves to intervene with FIFA to lift the automatic one-game suspension of a star U.S. player who had received a red card in his previous match. The sequence of events that led to the player's reinstatement for Monday's match with Belgium has cast a pall over the integrity of the tournament. FIFA, by suspending its own suspension, has shown itself to be just as subject to backroom influence as it has been in the past. Meanwhile, U.S. officials have shown themselves to be ruthlessly uncraven in the pursuit of winning. Ultimately, the real losers amidst all the shenanigans are the American players. Their superb showing throughout the tournament, despite Monday's 4-1 loss to Belgium, will be forever overshadowed by this crass manipulation of the rules by FIFA and U.S. officials. Now to the next. WIHA celebrates Winthrop's history at Landing Day. Courtesy photos. The Winthrop improvement in historical association, VIHA, and the Dana Winthrop House celebrated America's birthday weekend in style at the recent Winthrop Landing Day. Setting up at Winthrop Landing, volunteers and board members spent the afternoon engaging with the community, answering questions, and sharing their mission to preserve more than 375 years of Winthrop history. Visitors had the opportunity to learn about upcoming preservation projects, sign up for the memberships and volunteer roles, and enter a free raffle for a pirate-themed kids' beach basket. Schedule update. Following the tremendous success of the recent Strawberry Festival, VIHA also announced a brief update to their summer schedule. The Dana Winthrop House tours, originally planned for July 11 to 12, have been cancelled. The organization is currently taking a deliberate approach to finalizing its 2026-2027 calendar to ensure all events and volunteer logistics are fully in place before public announcements, guaranteeing the best possible experience for the community going forward. Governor Healey proclaims July 5 to 11 as Hurricane Preparedness Week in Massachusetts. Special to the transcript. To encourage residents to prepare for tropical storms and hurricanes, Governor Maura Healey has proclaimed July 5 to July 11, 26 as Hurricane Preparedness Week in Massachusetts. During the week-long initiative, the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, MEMA, will share information resources to help individuals, families, business, and municipalities protect life and property before, during, and after a tropical storm or hurricane. Preparing before a storm is one of the best ways to keep yourself, your family, and your community safe, said Governor Maura Healey. Hurricanes and tropical storms can impact every part of Massachusetts, so whether you live on the coast or further inland, now is the time to make a plan. Build an emergency kit and stay informed. Taking a few simple steps today can make a big difference when severe weather strikes. Strong communities are built on preparation, said Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll. By taking time now to prepare for hurricane season, we are helping ensure our families, neighborhoods, and first responders are ready to respond when severe weather threatens. The Atlantic hurricane season runs from June 1 to November 30 each year. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, forecasters at the Climate Prediction Center anticipate a below-normal 2026 Atlantic hurricane season with a range of 8 to 14 named storms, including 1 to 3 major hurricanes. An average season has 14 named storms with 7 hurricanes, including 3 major hurricanes. Preparing for hurricanes is a shared responsibility, said Public Safety and Security Secretary Gina Kwon. Our public safety agencies work year-round with state, local, and federal partners to prepare for severe weather, and we encourage every resident to take steps now to be ready. Being informed and having a plan in place before a storm arrives helps keeping families and communities safe. Ahead of peak hurricane season, MEMA has expanded public outreach by sharing hurricane safety tips online, distributing multilingual preparedness toolkits to emergency management directors statewide, and partnering with MassDOT to display preparedness messaging on digital billboards. MEMA also continues to strengthen preparedness through coordination meetings, training, and exercise across the Commonwealth. Preparing for hurricane season doesn't have to be time-consuming or expensive, said MEMA Director Don Brantley. Building an emergency kit over time, creating a simple communication plan, and knowing where to find reliable information are affordable steps that can make a meaningful difference. The steps you take today will help protect you, your loved ones, and your community when severe weather threatens. This was Priya reading Winthrop's and Transcripts. Thank you for listening. Thank you.